control of your mind. But if I say, would you please be back at one? We need to this or we need to that. Then we all understand each other. But there is also no urgency. But it's like the child standing in the road. If there is nothing on the road, you will not have the same urgency as if a Mack truck is bearing down on your child. You're going to get him out of that road. So you can always judge communication by the way it is presented. And if, as a parent, for instance, you start off screaming, there's nowhere for you to go, is there? And the kid's going to wait. Because he knows you're already screaming, and I don't have to do anything, because there's nowhere she can go from there. Try whispering. They hear just as well when you whisper, and you have somewhere to go from there. And by the time you get into third gear, that kid's going to move. If you follow through every time. Don't go in there and say, I am going to kill you the next time you do that. It's even all right to say, you know, I'm going to feel like killing you if you do that again. But the kid trusts you just enough, even if he hates your guts, that he's pretty sure you won't kill him. Because somewhere on that boob tube, you heard it's against the law. Now the little sucker's really got you, because if you touch them, I'll turn you in. And yet, how many parents in this day and age beat their children to death? It's you're in chaos. And I feel almost offended to have to use the term, but it's called Kali, K-A-L-I. So you have to be very careful if you have an expression that seems to represent you. And we have one with that name. It makes it very, very hard for that one to function, I'll tell you. Because there is such turmoil and such confusion in the name itself. It's like calling your child devil. Why would you do that? And then why do you say, you're just a little devil? Well, it's cute. Because you think the naughtiness is cute, and then it gets bad. It's not cute anymore. Kali means one thing. And the age of Kali means one thing, and it is the age of total chaos. And it can be expressed, as ones would like to, as bringing order out of chaos, but that's not what it means. Kali is a movement into chaos. Order is the coming out of chaos. So I have no right to label any speaker, but I would not choose that word. I would not choose that reference simply because it becomes difficult. Now, we have been writing, Cal Bergen has been writing, and we have been using, what does Elohim mean? Just guess, somebody. I mean, we've just written on it. Try again.
Angel.
That's what it means. And it's usually referred to as the fallen angels. All right, another writer writes, just yesterday, we have found this teacher. Very good teacher. And he's explaining all the names and the different aspects of God. And guess what? He gets around to Elohim, and that means God. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. The word itself does not. And they want me to take a whole day to explain what these different terms mean so that you can understand them. I just did that. Why would I write again on Elohim when this writer says it means God? It doesn't. Why would I waste your time, my time, or their time? I don't have to write about this writer. I know that that portion of his writing is incorrect. I don't have to label or judge the writer. And I can't keep up with which journal I wrote to explain this. And this is just an example. This same teacher takes the Star of David and turns the triangle upside down inside itself so that you have the six-pointed Star of David. And then you've got the name of an aspect of God in this, in hieroglyphics. But all you have to do, you see, then Christ is down here being Joshua or Yahshua. Well, you're not too far off there, except that's what they call Jesus. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, or if you are of the Illuminati, then you do consider it the top of the pyramid, and that would be the Jesus. Because, you see, that element has chosen that person and that name to be representative of this station, not the Christ. Don't you misunderstand for a minute. It doesn't mean you can't have Jesus a Christ, but you certainly cannot have Jesus the Christ. And there's no way to get some of this information except to study it. And those who say, well, I don't need to read every day. I'm already in a state of grace. Well, good. That's as far as you're going to go, too. And grace. And I also wonder at ones who don't bother to read, why do you bother to stay? Why should we want ones on our team who don't even bother to read what we do? Well, obviously, if we expect to do anything in this whole world, we're going to have to work with ones who don't read every day. And then if we don't make it available every day, and then one gets out there that shouldn't, somebody's in real serious hot water. So what do you want, old boy? Well, I want perfection. What do you expect me to want? So we make allowances, and we learn to communicate. And yeah, I do set you up. Because that's what I'm about. Don't teachers give you an examination every now and then? And don't they expect you to learn? And don't they expect you to grow? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn and we're going to grow. And we're going to learn to hear. We're going to learn to use the tools that best suit what we need. And we don't need to go to great, we don't have to become university graduates. You don't have to know how to put a television set together to be able to utilize a television, but it sure helps to know where the on button is. So most of you would have absolutely zero use, except for the fun of a few days of play, with this at all. And once you learn how to hypnotize somebody, you're going to learn that you haven't even passed the first phase. Depends on what you want, and you can get that from a good tape. So why else might I be fiddling around while everybody has so many other things to do? Well, we have to learn to help one another here. And that means that we need to confront some of these things that we're both curious about so that we can maybe understand a little bit better where we're headed. Because as we come into a situation, we maybe perceive that, well, I can go in there and I can straighten them out because I can see their problems. No outsider can see the working problems of a family. Or the ability to understand that, no, I do this simply because I'm willing to do this because of the end result out here. But no, don't come in here after the fact and tell me how to do it because I can't deal with it. I've got all the load I can carry. even if your way is better. We have had so many going to come and straighten us out. And usually it's for a fee. One right now, sitting with so much money, he won't be able to count it if he waits and gets his job done. But first of all, he's got to fiddle around and bargain and deal, and, well, it's going to cost a lot of money. What do you mean? Well, there's investigation to be done, and I'm a consultant, and I don't have anything. Well, then forget it. You don't have this either. We don't expect everyone to be enlightened. I want to tell you something. I don't want some people around me who, quote, are enlightened. We have a job to do, and this usually sours those who are so confounded enlightened. If you cannot work in the world, then you're too enlightened for me, because that's where we're stuck. You can't get off that place. If you go out, you've got to come back. If you go up, you're going to come down. That's the way it is. You're prisoners. You're prisoners of your own mind. Because, of course, you could get off. But then you wouldn't be putting up with this anyway, would you? So there are all sorts of limitations and requirements that you put upon yourself so that you can act your role, fulfill your duty as the actor on this stage. And there will be plenty who come just as extras on the set to annoy you, make you flub your lines, make the play a flop. We're not going to have a flop play. And it makes me sad that we have to have some flops as actors. And by that, I mean that do fall off to the wayside. And yet even those are in now near panicked desperation. Because let us just talk about the lawyers and the cases and in Nevada. It's nice of us to have won one today. Will Horton and Green appeal or not? What choice do they have? It's either down or appeal. They have plenty of distractions, so maybe they will choose not to. But this is desperate time for them. And all they would have had to do in the beginning is move out. Act justly. It's the same with Abbott. He's already spent Leon's money. And more, and more. What is his end? Leon's going to turn against him, I can promise you. When he really sees what has happened to him, he's going to turn against that man. And if Rod McBroom has any sense at all, he will join him in behalf of Eleanor. That has nothing to do with John. This man, after being told by the judge to quit using Eleanor Schroffer, still puts her as the case. Eleanor Schroffer et al. And she's already by law been removed from the case. What is his alternative? Goose egg. He has to keep making an idiot of himself, or it's disbarment, imprisonment, high sanctions and fines. He doesn't have anything. Remember, he told everybody here that he was going to use it for his retirement, this case. What is he going to do? So your expectations must rest where reality lies. You have to think about what they have to do, they assume. because it is not in them to bargain with you or say we were wrong or any of those things. Forgive me, you know, this may come. You know, as a total last resort. Well, forgive me, I was wrong. And now because you serve God, you say you've got to forgive me too. Doesn't have anything to do with forgiveness. You make restitution and you make it right, and forgiveness plays no part. But you must meet your responsibility first. And when you do that, and you show that you are meeting your responsibility, I have no quarrel with forgiving you, but don't you think for one second I'm going to forget. Because if you ever forget, you have wasted every lesson you ever learned. You didn't learn it. You must remember. It is the time of remembering. And all this old forgetting and forgiving is bullshit. You're going to have to never bring it up if you have forgiven it and say, "Darling, I erred. Please, will you take me back? I promise never to do it again." And she says, "All right, I forgive you. Let us move on." And then every Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you pick up the phone. "Why, you son of a bee, you were this way and that way, and here we are. You deserve the misery you get. If you are not big enough to remember and live with it and keep your mouth shut, then you haven't forgiven. So don't lie to yourself. And this old unconditional love garbage makes me sick. God has so many conditions and He lists them. You have a choice. Every move, choice you make. Which way to do it? God has laid them out. He's laid them out from your inception of thought. And even a baby or a puppy knows when it's been naughty. You know. Only a brain damaged entity doesn't know. Otherwise, it will do the natural thing. And if it is simple, it will do the natural thing, and therefore it cannot be guilty of a crime. But anything you have to sneak around, hide about, lie about, cheat about, or steal, then you have a major problem. That's something else I want you to be able to confront. And you have to confront it in the silence of a silent, still mind. It doesn't mean that it's unacceptable always. And there are always circumstances to be considered. But God gives us guidelines and we know what they are. And you need some tools. Or I will just go off and leave you, you see. And I'm not going to do that. We've gotten to here. And we didn't come along here to mop up the floor or put together papers or whatever. That may be what we do until the day we make transition. But that's not our ultimate purpose. Our goal is to be sure and get a remnant through and the word brought forth in some form. And then we have to deal with our individual purpose. Well, some of us are so hampered, it doesn't exactly cripple us. But it certainly restrains us from being able to function fully. And because we cannot control the functioning or the contract of that other that we and those with whom we deal, we have to learn the art of dealing and the art of communication. And sometimes that means we need to confront our own hang-ups. Some people don't like me. Lemura didn't like me. She loved me, but she didn't like me. because I yelp. I can tell you right now, it reminded her of her upbringing. There was somebody close to her who flounced around and absolutely was so powerful, so strong, that it was terrifying to the child. And you go and you look for the one with a purple flame all over it, and the softness that doesn't ever make you confront yourself. Well, I would say that the changing cycle of a universal corner of the cosmos is important enough to be able to consider it maybe necessary to confront ourselves. Little me. Am I such an important cog in this great humongous wheel? Yes, you are, because there's only ultimately one. And you don't know which one. Is it your neighbor to your right or to your left or on the stage? These are always the questions we must confront, because we have a massive job to do. Well, if you're going to make me do a massive job, I'm out. I'm out. I'm tired. I already hauled those papers. Lift that veil. Tote that barge. That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Gotta have a little fun.
But not too much. Joy. Joy. Always joy, not fun. I want to talk just another minute about dream work, and then maybe we'll play with that one a little bit, because you're going to find that you might want to choose up some partners. You see, most of you, it's not worth it, because you're not remembering your dreams. And I'm laughing, but it's not funny to most of you. And then sometimes you really get to this ragged edge and you think, if I don't remember one pretty soon, sir, I'm quitting. And so you'll visit, and we'll visit, and we'll look at your stuff hanging on your peg aboard, and we'll discuss it. So, okay, if I could just remember for a little while, promises, all of them. Well, okay, just let me remember for a little while, and then I'll know it's okay. So what do you remember? Well, I remember us discussing that I could remember for a little while, and it would be okay. So it's okay. What's your problem? And you'll wake up and you'll know. Oh, my, you know. And you're thinking so smugly, I know, and I probably ought to write this down, but I won't, because there is no way to forget this. 5 minutes later, somebody asks you, what was it you started to tell me about? And it's gone. That's because you agreed not to write it down, and you agreed not to bring it back. It's not safe for you. It's not time for you. Everything in its own sequence. But you will be having other things, because your life goes on and on and on, and you will be getting messages. You will be getting messages across time. And some of those things will be coming into awakening. So it will help to know yourself. And that usually takes a little guidance. Not because you don't know yourself, but because once you're in a state of receptiveness, you have no consciousness to guide yourself. You can ask and answer the questions, because you know both the answer and the question. Especially if it deals with something that only deals with you. So let's take a dream. What is a dream? A dream is something, it is a play. Not unlike what you're living in here. You see this is your illusion. This is your vision. This is whatever it is you're experiencing. At this moment, Dorma's eyes are shut. She sees nothing. This room could be vacant. So that would be her illusion at this moment. But you can't deal with just that and pull up this other, because that requires setting aside the critical mind that you have as your alert there. You have to set it to the side so that it is no longer guiding you, criticizing everything, commenting on everything, pulling in the ego, and finally you give up. And it doesn't mean that you have to be in a trance to be able to play the game, especially as comes along dreams. A dream is the one most precious thing that you will have. It's only yours. You are the producer. You are the playwright. You are the scriptwriter. You choose the characters. Only you know what they mean. And the worst thing about it is the mind, in its scramble, if it doesn't really have it sorted out in consciousness, will produce little secret puzzle pieces. And maybe you will have a dream about owls and puppy dogs. Well, why did you choose an owl and why did you choose a puppy dog? I don't know. Well, you're going to find something interesting. For anyone who has had an encounter of some kind, if it is a negative type of encounter, it doesn't have to be bad. But always there will be an illusion left. And a lot of the visitors, they're not bad. And you may have an ongoing working contract with them. But they will leave you with an image, another dream, if you will. And you will wake up and you will think you had a dream, maybe about a bird in the window, or usually they like to choose birds. And you think, well, God, they'd be smarter than that. Well, yes, they're smart enough to make you, to manipulate you, or to give you something that doesn't bring you such terror or pain. And a lot of times you're just getting mind games played on you. And you're replacing them with something that comes into your consciousness first thing on arrival. You know, the little bird that thinks a human being is its mother, literally, if that is the first thing it sees and senses. It will bond with whatever it first sees and smells and senses. So if you have a child that is experiencing, oh, I can even do better. In many of the native tribes, let us say a little boy is born. Let us say twins are born. Usually the agreement will be that the most impressive influence of the time will be part of its name. Or if the father was a great hunter, it will often be that the son will bear part of that name. Or it will be whatever the mother and or the father, or they both, whatever might be the tradition, whatever they see, whatever life form they see when they first emerge after the birth. So if they look up and there is an eagle flying, very likely they will name it something, something eagle. If it is a red-tailed eagle, which is a hawk, or a spotted eagle, they will call it spotted eagle. If there is something in the vision quest of the Father that he sees when he goes on his vision for name, a naming vision, and he will see a leaping elk, they will call the child leaping elk. And these things carry meaning to these people. All they had in those first days of a new world with no language, and this is where the majority of mankind is headed again, into a time of startup again. No language. It's hard to communicate without language. It's hard to communicate even if you are in, and you know a few words of the language. You can get by with sign language, but it's not fun to go back and try to talk sign language to everyone around you when memory is gone and you're there and you're freezing and you wake up one morning and you realize you're there and you're freezing.
You mean no internet?
No, you have the internet, you just don't have any plug-in. And what do you think a quasar or an internet's going to mean to the caveman? And you have to admit that's a different language, isn't it? That's worth exploring in your mind a little bit, too. With everything from medicine to law to the internet, and computer world has its own language. And that's to keep it a secret from you. If you don't know the language, you don't know when the doctors are pronouncing your death sentence. And now the lawyers have a different one, you know. If you're overweight, you are weight challenged. If you are deficient up here, you know, nuts, you are intellectually challenged. And you have to be very careful how you word these things. Well, dream work becomes one of the most useful tools you can have, because I had a funny dream last night. I wonder what it meant. It bothers me enough that I can't get it out of my mind. All right, what would you do? Go to a psychiatrist? All you're ever going to learn is what the psychiatrist will tell you after you pay him. Believe me, he will take your insurance. He'll decide whether or not it's covered. This is why so much psychiatric care is not covered by insurance. Everybody would be down there. So it's a disease for the wealthy. So let's get down to some serious stuff. You wake up in the morning and you've had a dream. It's better if you've had it 3 or 4 times before. But let us just say you wake up and maybe you think, God, you know, it seems I dreamt that before too. But let's see. I need to tell somebody this dream. That's number one. If there's anybody to tell this dream to, share it. Just share it. You know, I had this funny dream last night. I was pickling cucumbers. And you know, it seems almost like I had that same dream another time, and isn't that silly? And while I was pickling these cucumbers, this stray cat comes to the door. And it just didn't make any sense to me at all, and I don't know why I can't get it out of my mind. But I've pondered this now all 2 minutes since I've been up. Because if you're smart and you live alone, you will get a dream partner. And you'll use that phone. And you'll make a time during that day when you tell your, you know, if you come up with a dream, and try to do that. When you go to bed at night, I really must remember at least one dream. Just let me remember, no matter how silly, I demand that I remember at least one dream. If you can get a voice-activated little micro cassette. Keep it right there by your bed. Turn it on to voice at night so that you don't have to worry about waking up enough to do more than let it play itself. You're not in for a recording, Grammy. You are in for putting down a thought. Jot down on the tape or on a pad just a few clues if you don't want to sit there and write and write. But if you can wake up, the more details you get, the more valuable your dream is going to be and the easier your dream work. It's called dream work. Get a dream partner. The next thing to do, take your notes or your memory and tell somebody, even if it is the pussycat or the bird. Little precious, guess what I dreamed last night? I dreamt that you got devoured by a cat or whatever. It will glue it up here in your mind. And if the next step would be to tell your dream partner. Now, when you go into dream work, and this is when you want to do some dream work, because obviously you're not going to be appreciated if you call someone at 3 a.m. to tell them about your dream. This is when you want to do some dream work one with another. And then we'll go through something like that here. Who has a dream? Who has a dream that recurs? Nobody has a dream?
Martin Luther King.
Try again.
Martin Luther King. I have a dream.
I have a dream. Well, we can't play if we don't have a dream. Does Jack have a dream or is he going to leave?
No, I'm just getting something.
It just helps to have a dream.
Commander, I used to have a dream. It occurred at least 3 or 4 or 5 times. First, there were animals.
Well, then come up here, please. You take the hot seat. No, I need that one. I want.
Oh, you want this one?
I want to be down there. First of all, you have to be comfortable, and I don't mean just in body. I mean comfortable. Make sure it's something that you can talk about. There will be some dreams that are so personal that you certainly aren't going to want to get up in front of the room. Although, even those dreams, you can rework them enough to make them usable, because all you want, it does not matter what her dream is as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to know what it means to her. Only she needs to know what it means to her. And if she will share it with us, we're doubly blessed. But now she's just come in and we're going to do some dream work, and she's had this recurring dream. The first thing you do is share the dream in just as much detail as you can possibly remember, just sitting here talking. Tell me your dream. And try to remember the who, how, what, when, where, and if you know a why, let's hear it. And then we'll look at it again in a state of trance. And you'll notice the details filling in. But already the focus is on the dream. So tell us your dream.
The first dream I had, I was standing in front of a woman, and I had a feeling she had supernatural evil powers, and I could sense it, and she just was about to do something to me, and I just turned my back, and she was very disappointed at that. So I went my way, and I suddenly turned around, and there was a very big dog standing there with big gleaming eyes. And he was, and I turned around, he was about to jump at my throat, and I pointed my finger at him, at this dog, and I said, "Sananda," and out of my finger comes this energy, and the dog was unable to do anything. He went down to the ground, to his stomach. And then I had another dream where there were many animals, and I was with a group of people, and they were about to attack us, and I point my finger and I say, "Sananda," and the animals are powerless. And we are free to go our way. And then I point my finger at a little hill of paper and say, I don't think I said the name Sananda, but out of my finger comes this energy, and that hill catches fire. The paper catches fire.
That's wishful thinking. All right. Put your hands out in front of you. Thumbs up. All right. Now, I want you to continue to hold your hands out in front. And in just a minute, I'm going to explain what I'm going to do. That's why I don't want you to do anything. I want you to realize that there are magnets in the palm of your hand. They're just embedded there. So they kind of tend to want to pull your hands together. However, don't move yet. Then I will take my hand, my finger, and I will move it between your hands, and I want you to keep your eyes focused on my finger.